a lot of stress, I think, right now within the congregation. So we need to be mindful of that and think about that as we go through our daily prayers. I firmly believe that there's a reason we pray. God wants to hear us. He wants to hear our petitions. He wants to hear our concerns and our cares. And I know that He hears them. So as you go through your week, remember those that we talked about in our introductory. I was trying to figure out a title. We're going to be in Psalms chapter 19 today. And I was trying to think of a title. And this is the best I could come up with. So here's my title. And this is a two-part, because I don't think I could get through the whole chapter. There's a lot of stuff in here in Psalms 19. Not as many verses, but there's a lot of information that I want to present. So my title is God's Two Perfect Books. And hopefully as I go through this, it'll help you understand what I'm talking about. But there's two perfect books. One is written, one we have here. I mean, this is the perfect Word of God, and we'll get to that in the second phase of the lesson. But the first one, the psalmist describes, and I'll just go ahead. I wasn't going to start with this, but we'll just go ahead in the first verse, and then I'm going to jump to Genesis probably. He says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show His handiwork." And I'll pause there. But the very first book that he ever wrote was within all of creation. And the psalmist describes that so perfectly. And you think about this, David, as he's writing this hymn, he echoes this understanding of what God has accomplished through everything that he touches. Everything that God creates is good. We have a lot of kids with us this morning. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Genesis chapter 1. We're going to highlight some of those things this morning, thinking about this beautiful picture that God has created, this beautiful book that He's written that shows us all kinds of evidence about Him and His power. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, the world wants to say all kinds of crazy philosophies, crazy ideas, but the Bible tells us, the great book, the only true book that exists in the world, the only truth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, just as the psalmist David echoed in his song before God. The earth was without form and void, he says, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So we see the existence of life coming into being in the very first couple verses of Genesis. You know, the earth was not formed. God made it. You know, the darkness was there. And God said, "Let there be light." And what happened? And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Now that's the first day of creation. God did a lot of wonderful things in just one day. Created light. Look what light has done for us. Look at the evidence of light around us just sitting here today. I can remember when I was a little kid looking through all the pane glasses and thinking how beautiful that was here. Never really been any place that had that. And I remember when we first started coming here, those beautiful colors coming through the window. Think of all the things of creation that without light, how difficult this world would be. Think about all the scientific elements that light helps to foster growth in all of us, within us. Without vitamin D, we're not healthy. Without the sunlight, we don't have the plants that grow that we can eat and live and survive. And all the animals in the world are blessed by light. Now, we know that there are some sea creatures that, you know, it's amazing. There's one lizard I read about in some of these caves that can stand still for like 15 years, never eat, never drink, never move a muscle. It's amazing, God's creation. But I was reading about that earlier this week. But God's creation is magnificent. Then he goes on and he says in verse 6, he says, "Then God said, 'Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the water.'" Waters. Thus God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Think about how important water is. As we were driving out west, there were some places, and I think I mentioned this the other day in my lesson, but all these cows were just walking right down the fence line, right by the interstate. I mean, they were just walking in a line like you'd think kids walking in the hallways at school, you know? And I'm sure that they were looking for water because you have this vast area, and as far as you could see to the mountains, I mean, there was no fence. You know, these animals had free rein, but you know what? There was a short supply of water. God, in all his wisdom, created this earth in such a fashion that we could live. We can't live without water. Our body's 90% water. You realize that? God is so perfect in all that he does. And, you know, he created water. And God called the firmament heaven. Excuse me, let me back up one verse. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters he called the seas. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herbs that yield seed and the fruit trees that yield fruit according to its kinds, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs that yield seeds according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and morning were the third day. Think about all the plants that exist in this world and how they interact with all these different other things. I have a chestnut tree right by my pond, and it has not looked too good the last few years. I don't know if I destroyed some roots in it, but it's starting to look better. And you know what else I hear? I hear the buzz of all these bees. There's all these bees buzzing. They're pollinating that tree. You think of what God's creation, it's perfect in every aspect. The trees, the grass that grows out there, I can't digest that grass, but that cow can. And when a cow digests that grass, I have something really good to eat at the end of the day. God, in all his wisdom, created this world perfect. Where else could you find this life? Where else could you find all these wonderful things of creation? The third day, God did something wonderful. He created all these things. He separated the waters. He created land. And we see this earth that we're living in. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. I was out last night. I was actually working on this sermon on the deck, and I was hoping I could see the stars. But it was really cloudy. But when the moon come up, I could see it, and it was through the haze of those clouds. You know, and I could tell, just rising up above the trees and how beautiful that was. If you've never gone out at night and looked up into the sky to see all that God has created, and why did he do that? You know what? We have fancy things now. We have GPS that can tell us where to go. But the ancient travelers used the stars. They used the stars to determine what season it is, what days it was. And the Bible even talks about that. But God, He is so perfect in all that he does. He prepares man to understand more about him, and he did it through creation. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens and divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. God did it, and it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and morning were the fourth day. Fourth day. You know, the sunlight. When you can just sit in that warm sun and feel that heat from the sun. And we'll talk about that later too. Fourth day, God created this light so that we can understand the times and the seasons and the days. Verse 20, then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind. and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things, and the beasts of the earth according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us, I don't know if you're in your Bible if that's capitalized, but it is in mine, let us make man in our image. So God created all this stuff so that man could exist in this world and live and prosper and gain an understanding of Him and have fellowship with Him. And then what does He do? He creates us. So God and Christ, if you go back to what Don mentioned last week in his sermon in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was there when He formed all this. In all His wisdom, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed, it was very good. It was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. 6 days God created all this. That baffles mankind. Because as simple as this 31 verses are for us, because we believe in God. We believe that God is the creator of this world. There are thousands of books and thousands of articles and millions of people out there in the world that are trying to destroy that foundation for our kids. They're trying to take that away. In the beginning, God created it. Now I read all that to jump to Psalms. Psalm 19. The psalmist sings this song to God. And you know, when we think about, man, he could have called 10,000 angels. That's the one that gets me all the time, Dustin. I appreciate you leading that. I can remember when I was a little kid, these songs mean something. When we sing and we're echoing our voice to God together, we're harmonizing together, we're lifting up our voices in praise to God, thanking Him for all that He's done for us. And Jesus willingly going to that cross to die for our sins. What a powerful song that is. What a wonderful thought. But David, I can almost envision David as he pens this song. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language. Now notice there's some italicized words in this text. That means they weren't there originally. That means the translators put these words in there. And where is one of those? So as we go through this, think about that. He says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun. So that's our first point. The heavens declare the glory of God. God created this. The glory of God is declared by everything we see around us. We've got the privilege to live in a beautiful place. I was telling Bill right before our worship, you know, you travel far and wide and you go all over the place, but you come home and there's nothing like home. Home is beautiful. God has created for us this beautiful place to live and exist so that we can de-stress sometimes and get rid of some of the anxiety that's around us just by opening our eyes and taking a pause to smell the roses. The heavens declare His glory. How do the heavens declare the glory of God? Well, think about this. You know, I was hoping last night when I was writing this lesson that I could see the stars just to get in my mind the vastness again. I can remember coon hunting, and sometimes I'd be with your son-in-law coon hunting, and we'd be there late at night, and you'd see the falling stars, and you'd see all the beautiful stars at night, especially on a clear night. It was amazing what you could see. And, you know, you're just sitting there and you're listening to those dogs. You're looking out in the atmosphere and you're seeing all these things. And, you know, just the naked eye itself can see some pretty wonderful things. And then you know that man magnifies things and we see all these great abilities that man has to see out even beyond our galaxy. This universe, this existence is vast. The heavenly bodies are vast. There are, you know, and I don't know a bigger number to use, but there are trillions. It seems like we're racking up trillions of dollars in debt every day in this country. But, well, there are trillions of bodies out there, aside from Earth. Trillions of trillions of trillions. You could probably just, you know, put an exponent back there that's, you know, got a lot of zeros. And it probably couldn't quantify the amount of bodies that are out there. We've sent stuff to Mars to see Mars. We've sent stuff even farther into our own galaxy to see it. You know, we talk about how vast it is. It's huge. I remember just a couple weeks ago being out west thinking, man, this is vast. And then as I'm studying the Psalms, I'm thinking, yeah, you know what? That's nothing compared to the stars that you look out and see at night. What God has created. It's vast. The heavens declare the glory of God. Poor Job. Man, he had it tough. But in Job chapter 9, Job, one of the oldest books that we, from what I believe, from what I understand, one of the oldest books that was written. In Job chapter 9, verse 8, we read this. Job says, "He alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. He made the bear Orion and the Pleiad." I'm not a very good astronomer, so I'm not very good with those names. Pleiades, P-L-E-I-A-D-E-S. So he talks about these different constellations. The bear, Orion. You know, and I didn't know the last one. I had to look it up. You know, so they call it the seven sisters out there. And I was thinking, well, maybe I could see that at night. I couldn't. It was too cloudy last night to check it out. But here, From the ancients, we see Job looking into the stars. We think, what happened to Job? Job lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his wife. His wife said, "Curse God and die, Job." His friends were telling him over and over again, "You must have done something wrong, Job." And through all of that, Job in his wisdom said, "Though he slay me, yet will I serve him." Because he saw the evidence of God all around him. And this is just one part. He goes on and he says many wonderful things about God. But the universe is vast. We can't even comprehend it, what God has created. How do we know the heavens declare the glory of God? The order. When you have something that has order, that means there is a designer. I had to change the brakes on my truck the other day. And to do that, believe it or not, I had to pull the floating axles out. I had to take the axles apart to change brakes on my truck. I mean, I wish engineers actually had to work on these vehicles, because then maybe they would design it a little differently. But you know what I know? I know that somebody engineered that, because that had, you know, you had to slide that in there so that it would catch the barbs in the rear end, so that it would work and so that your car can move. There's organization to a vehicle. Every car you get in, somebody organized that. Somebody designed it, whether it's good or bad. They designed it so that it would navigate down that road. Now, we think about God. The order that exists in the universe. Go back to Genesis. What did we learn? We learned that God created all this stuff so that we could know the times and the seasons, so that we could know daylight to dark, so that we could understand and comprehend where we are, when we are. God did all that for us. Isn't that amazing? And it's always in the same place. The North Star is always in the same place. God put order there. You know what's amazing? That for thousands of years, they have been able to categorize eclipses. I think I read 2,500 years. They know it down to the minutes of all these eclipses that have happened for 2,500 years. Isn't that amazing? Because there's order to the universe that God created. You know what? I know that, we had what was it called 2 nights ago? I didn't get to see it because it was overcast. It was the strawberry moon or something like that. So we know this. And we teach our kids the phases of the moon. Why do we teach our kids the phases of the moon? Because the position between the sun, the earth, and the moon is different at all junctures. And by looking at the phases of the moon, you kind of know a little bit about what day it is. And isn't God pretty amazing in his creation to do that for us? There's order in this universe. The heavens declare the glory of God. It was just some random thing. Would there be so much order? Because there's order, it has to show that there is a designer. You know, another thing about this order, the sun is in just the right proximity to the earth for us to actually exist. Do you remember studying that in school, kids? Hopefully you have. If it was a little bit farther away, if it was a little bit closer, we'd burn up. If it was just a little bit farther away, we'd freeze. Isn't that amazing? God knew where to put the earth because he is the creator. He created it. He knew where it needed to go. And it was perfect. I cheated. I took a picture on my phone so I didn't have to write it down. But I was reading the uniqueness of earth. And another thing that talks about the order. The sun has sufficient main consequence timeline. Let me skip through some of this. The sun is a single star. Earth has the right distance from the sun. It's the habitable zone. So this limit is determined by the runaway greenhouse and refrigeration effects the earth would have. So just kind of like I talked about. The size of earth's large enough and formed with significant but not too large of an atmosphere. And what is the atmosphere? It's the gases that surround the earth to protect the earth from the consequences of that sun. So all this is perfect. It's unique in that God created it in such a way so that the atmosphere could protect us. It has a large moon that produces significant tides and stabilizes Earth's spin and axis. Many of you are going to go to the beach and you're going to go to high tide so that you can get on your boogie boards or whatever it is and float out into the ocean and come back, right? Or low tide so that you can go and you can find shells. I like going out at low tide and night, late at night, and fish, looking for shells. But God created that in such a way so that that could happen. All these things happen and the earth moves because of this. So Jupiter and other giant planets remove asteroids and comets from Earth trajectory. You think about that. God created the solar system with a purpose. If not, the comets and the asteroids would destroy the Earth. But because he has all these other bodies that are circling the sun and moving around us, we're protected. There's other things we could talk about. The existence of plate tectonics. You know, looking at the mountains that I was in. Isn't it amazing that the earth is created in such a fashion that all these things can be stabilized and that we can have water and we can have land and we can have carbon dioxide that is crucial to the existence of things in this earth. And we're just in the right place for all of this to happen, to habitate earth. God is an amazing God. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, I'm not going to get through all of it because I'm getting long-winded, but I'm going to read just the notes that I wrote down. But in 1 Chronicles 16, 24 through 30, the concept is the world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved, the Chronicle writer tells. So what God has created is firm. It's steadfast. It's not going to change. That North Star will always be there. Until God decides that it's not going to be there anymore. That sun will always be there and it will always be generating heat and light for us to survive until God decides it doesn't need to be there anymore. The earth will always be in the position around the sun and the axis will always be tilting because of the moon and the sun until God decides that it's not necessary anymore. And all those planetary systems that exist out there will always be navigating that same orbit until God decides that it's not going to be there anymore. There is order in this universe that God created. And the Bible tells us about it. Not only does it have order, not only is it vast, it allows life. There's four different parts to this atmosphere. 78% of it's nitrogen, 21% oxygen, 9% argon. So these are all kind of inert kind of things, right? And we know that there's a lot of other gases that exist. But this atmosphere, as I said before, protects us. Then we see the lithosphere, the rocks, the crust, the mantle, all the things that exist where we're living. And in turn, the biosphere where life exists. And then the hydrosphere. 70% of the earth is covered with water. And if we didn't have that, where would we be? And a third of that is rivers and streams and tributaries that renew us, that allow us to live. That's pretty amazing. That's order. The earth's structure, we have this hot core in the center that is both liquid and it's kind of keeping the rest of the earth together. When we were up there on that mountain, it was amazing. And we stuck our hands in the sand and in the water, and you could feel that hot water from the lava. That's a little scary in some ways. You know, we're on a volcano. But God created this whole thing for us to exist. And I got to move. So how do we know the heavens declare the glory of God? Because it's vast. It's ordered. It has purpose. You know, we can live here. We have all of these components of earth that allow us to live. And there's other examples, but I'm going to move on. All the earth has heard is my second point. He says, day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Think about what we learn each and every day, if we are just a little bit observant about what's going on. If we just look around us, what do we learn about God from just the things in nature that we see? There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. You know, Paul quotes this in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Actually, that's not the verse. Actually, that's an important verse. We'll read that anyway. I think it's Romans chapter 10 is where it's at. I skipped ahead of myself. So I'll read this since I'm there. Paul is telling the Romans here, you know, we see all these evidences around us, and we see that, you know, they're not living right. They're allowing sin to enter into them and into the church. And Paul says this, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So this first book that God created in the universe, no one has an excuse. There is no one that has an excuse not to believe God, not to serve God, as Paul says here. In verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And don't we see that? And changing the glory of God into a corruptible image. So we see that around us. We see people that have all the evidence right in front of us, right in front of them, and they choose to follow a lie instead of the truth. True knowledge and wisdom comes from understanding that this creation is created by God. And that alone should guide us to the Word. Because if we seek it, we know we'll find it. Now, going back to what he quoted. I'm sorry I messed that up. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, here's how Paul quotes this passage. A verse we commonly hear, especially when I'm given an invitation. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, if you end there, you lose a valuable piece of meaning. He says in verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Talking about all the people in the world. Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Paul quoted it. Paul quoted David. So the sound of earth, think about it. The words, unspoken, unwritten, are evidence for us. All the earth is heard. There are no human beings of whatever language beyond the reach of what the heavens are constantly saying in the ears of all men. The heavenly world is delivering a message to mankind, regardless of where they live or what language they speak. They can hear it. You know, there are tribes on islands in the South Pacific that have never
had any one of us, outside of their island that has lived to tell about it. But you know what I know? There's no excuse. We know that there's tribes in the Amazon still that are pretty much untainted by civilization. But you know what I know? There's no excuse. Because the evidence of God is all around us. There is no excuse for us. There's more that I want to say, but I don't have time. Now, can this knowledge alone save? No. The perfect book saves. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, as we just read, that's what we need to be navigating towards. We need to navigate towards this faith in God that's going to lead us to do something. We need to make sure that we're navigating towards God. We need to make sure that we're allowing His evidence to lead us to Him, to have a fuller understanding so that we can understand more perfectly what God has done for us. Don't let people deceive you. Don't let the world deceive you. Don't let people lie to you about creation. This world is not billions of years old. These things that we look at in our history books, and as you kids get older, you're going to get into your science books, and it's going to show the world's millions and billions of years old, and it's going to show all these layers of Earth and how the Earth evolved. Don't listen to it. Listen to Genesis 1. Listen to David in the Psalms. The evidence of God is clear. It is with order. God created it in that fashion. God created it in full age. Man was not created as the basic elements of life. Man was created as man. And the earth was created in full form. And this universe, when God spoke it into existence, in 6 days He did it. And the vastness of it. Our God is a wonderful God. I have a lot that I wanted to say, but I'm going to have to stop there. We got to be careful that we don't worship the things of this world. Like, you know, the Egyptians worshiped Ra. That was their god. They worshiped the sun. Well, we can't worship the sun. But you know what? The sun is so important. And I think there's a parallel between the sun, S-U-N, and the sun, S-O-N. The sun in this world gives us life. And we're in the right proximity, and it heats everything in this world. The sun, S-O-N, gives life in this world as well. Without Him, where are we? Without Jesus, where are we? And the second book reveals that perfectly. If there's anyone that has any need, please come as together we stand and sing.